This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier for all your unwanted smells. From pets, cooking, damp basements, smoke, whatever, you need the Thunderstorm. Buy the three-pack now and use a couple for yourself and then maybe give one as a Christmas gift. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code word Howie3. Shipping is free.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Just FYI, we will be talking about the New Hampshire primary victories in the 2 o'clock hour, some more local stuff. And I also want to talk about what's happening in New York with Lee Zeldin going up against Kathy Hochul. That is all coming up in the 2 o'clock hour. But I'm very excited about our next guest. He's been on this show several times and he's awesome all the time. If you want to read his work, you can go to thefederalist.com. It's John Daniel Davidson. John, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Hey, Grace. Thanks for having me.
All right. So I love your piece here. It's titled, "The Biden Administration Isn't Interested in Governing, but in Criminalizing the Opposition." And let's talk about, first of all, how you describe yesterday's events. You said the cable news clips were surreal. I think that's a perfect way to describe it. Give the audience a taste, in case they took the day off yesterday, of what they missed.
Well, they missed a great performance by James Taylor performing a song about suicide at the White House celebratory party for passing the Inflation Reduction Act. But the big thing that happened during this weird party that Biden decided to throw at the White House to celebrate the passage of this bill was that while he was speaking, up on the screen, the Wall Street stock market tracker was ticking down, negative 1,200 points on the stock market in response to the CPI report that said inflation was worse than it was last month, 8.3% year over year, groceries up 13.5%, gas up something like 15%, and all while Biden was talking about how great his Inflation Reduction Act is. So it was this like profound disconnect in real time that the president sort of disconnected from reality, as like something like $1.6 trillion was wiped out on the stock market. It was an amazing like clip that even I think I said even CNN had to recognize. There's a really a disconnect going on here. The president crowing about his Inflation Reduction Act while inflation was causing the stock market to tank at the same time.
Yeah, and I'm glad, John, that you got in also Karine Jean-Pierre's comments about grocery prices having been essentially flat, because, again, they have no problem just lying to us. At first, inflation didn't exist. Then they admitted it existed, but it was transitory. Then it was Putin's fault. Then it was 0%. And now we're finding out that prices are essentially flat, whatever that means. It really is crazy. And you describe this. You describe all of this, whether it be the administration telling us the border is secure or any of these things that are happening is pure theater. But there is something that you think the Democrats have an interest in doing. It's obviously not governing. Tell the audience what you think that is.
The only thing that seems to capture the Biden administration's attention and effort is criminalizing their political opponents, going after them and using every power at their disposal to do so. Even the FBI raiding Trump supporters' homes, taking their cell phones, issuing subpoenas, hauling people into jail. That's the only thing that they seem to really be focused on and really be willing to take concrete action about, is making sure that Donald Trump doesn't run again in 2024, criminalizing everybody who disagrees with them about the 2020 election, and putting on a spectacle for the country with the January 6th commission and their Soviet-style show hearings. That's the only thing they seem to really be focused on, clinging to power through force, not actually governing and solving problems that normal Americans...
Oh, I think...
Like, you know, crime, inflation, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and John, I'm glad you brought up the raiding of homes and the seizing of cell phones, because yesterday, and you point this out in your piece, Mike Lindell had his cell phone taken away by the FBI. What was your reaction to that?
Yeah, they're going after the MyPillow guy. Come on. Since when is it a crime in the United States to think that there was a problem with the election, to think the election was stolen? I don't recall anyone raiding the homes of Democrat activists in 2016 when they said that Trump's election was illegitimate, or, you know, confiscating.
John, hold on one sec. I don't want to interrupt you, but your connection is breaking up on us, so I don't want to miss anything you're saying. So we're going to put you on hold for a second. We're going to try to get it back to where it was. It was fine in the beginning, so try to get back to where you were. But yeah, John brings up such a great point. I mean, the election denial comes in and out of fashion. It's when Hillary Clinton wants to bring it out in regards to her election loss and in 2016. She's had so many, it's hard to keep track of them. But then it's fine. It's fine to talk about, you know, elections not being on the level or elections being jeopardized by Russia. That's all well and good. If you're Stacey Abrams, you want to claim that you're governor, that's all well and good. But if you are Donald J. Trump and you want to question how things went down, and you do have every reason to do that, you do have that right in this country to ask questions, to voice your opinion, you are suddenly, you might be getting a knock on the door from the FBI. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, exactly. The January 6th Commission even wants to haul Ginni Thomas, the wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, in front of their kangaroo court commission. Why? Because she texted with John Eastman, who gave Trump some legal advice about a constitutional question that scholars disagree about what powers the vice president has to confirm electors from the states. I mean, give me a break. You can't disagree with the official narrative of the regime and of cable news on this stuff. That's not America. That's banana republic stuff. But that's what the Biden administration is focused on. That's the only thing that they seem to be focused on, is going after people who question their absolute rule and question their narrative about the 2020 election.
And John, I'm speaking with John Daniel Davidson from The Federalist, and you can read all of his work at thefederalist.com. Something you pointed out, you say it's becoming obvious in the wake of the Mar-a-Lago raid that Attorney General Merrick Garland would very much like to indict Trump. But you don't think that's going to happen because of something else that just occurred in the Trump Mar-a-Lago case. Break that down for the audience.
Yeah, a federal judge recently appointed what's called a special master in that case. And the job of the special master is to go through all the documents that the FBI seized in that Mar-a-Lago raid and make sure that attorney-client privilege wasn't violated, to make sure that that the evidence that's being gathered is admissible in the case, and really to sort of be a neutral arbiter of the documents, tons of documents, something like 11,000 documents that were seized in this crazy raid at Mar-a-Lago. And that is going to slow the process down, because the special master is going to have to go through this mountain of documents that the FBI took from Trump's residence. And so that might mean that Merrick Garland won't be able to indict Trump before the November midterms, which I'm pretty sure has been the goal all along, is to indict Trump ahead of these elections. And now it looks like they might have to wait. And so instead, the January 6th committee is going to, you know, air their next round of hearings, I think, in October or later this month.
Yeah, I had no idea until I read your piece. I'm kind of embarrassed, but I had no idea they were doing a season two of the January 6th committee. I thought it was over. I thought the hearings were over. I thought the dismal ratings, I thought the lack of interest from the American public, I thought the lack of moving the needle as far as how people feel about January 6th would have put an end to this. But you write this in your piece in The Federalist. You say they're getting ready to air the next installment of their Soviet-style January 6th hearings. Do you think this, and I don't just mean these hearings, I mean everything we just talked about, Mike Lindell's cell phone, Mar-a-Lago being raided, do you think this is going to backfire on Democrats?
I do, because it's becoming obvious that this is all they have. All they have is trying to criminalize Trump. All they have is trying to criminalize Trump supporters and suppress dissent. They are incompetent at governing. They have no clue how to solve problems. They're completely blinkered by their ideology, and they're hostage to their radical left-wing base. their positions are extreme on everything from the border to abortion to schools and the role of parents in educating their children. And normal Americans are not on board with that stuff. And so this is all they have. All they have is scare tactics, fear-mongering, trying to tell us that democracy is going to collapse if we don't put Trump in jail. And so they're beating that drum, and that's why you're getting the next installment of the January 6th committee, the nothing burger, which is just going to be more of the same hearsay agitprop from the regime. But that's all they have, and so they're going to run with it, and I think they're going to pay a very heavy price in November.
You know, John, I see a lot of people on social media, even blue check marks, who are dunking on Mike Lindell or celebrating the Mar-a-Lago raid, and it feels so obvious to even say this, but if this can happen to Donald Trump or to Mike Lindell, this can happen to anybody. And it's frustrating to me to see people, you know, formerly principled people, principled conservatives or principled Democrats, who should know what a slippery slope this is, celebrating this and pretending that this is all justified as long as it means getting Donald Trump. How bad, what kind of road are we heading down when we start doing this and when we start using the FBI and the DOJ to go after political opposition?
Well, I might disagree with you in characterizing them as formerly principled. I don't think these people ever had any principle except the principle of power. That's what they care about. They don't care about process or about the Bill of Rights or about limiting government power in any way. They care about wielding government power and holding on to it and using it to crush their opponents. And so, you know, they think they're on the ascendant. They think, we've got him now. Trump will never run again. The MAGA Republicans will never gain power again. And so we're going to knuckle them under, and we're going to use the FBI and the DOJ, and we're going to use these subpoenas, and we're going to threaten people with jail time. And they think it's, I truly think they think it will work, and they think it'll never come back to bite them in the rear. And that is just historically ignorant. It's obviously a slippery slope, and it's the kind of thing that we see in places like Nicaragua, right? There's a reason Daniel Ortega has been the president of Nicaragua since 2007. He puts everybody who runs for president in jail. That's what third world countries do. And I don't know why they think it's going to work here, but I think that the American people are going to have something to say about it in November, and maybe it'll come as a shock to them, and maybe it'll knock some sense into these Democrats and blue checks, but I don't think so.
John Daniel Davidson, I really do love all of your work. I love the way you write. I think you break things down in a really easy-to-understand way for people. Please tell people where they can follow you on Twitter and where they can read some of your excellent pieces.
You can read all the tweets that I wrote up until March of this year at Twitter, at John D. Davidson on Twitter. But after that, I was banned for saying that Rachel Levin is a man. And other than that, thefederalist.com. That's where we post everything.
All right. Thank you very much, John. We will be back with your calls about this. I love the direction that this piece went into, where we're talking about what's going to happen in November, and hopefully the wake-up call that Democrats are going to get. I'm really, really hopeful that Americans are paying attention to this and that they're as outraged as they should be, because this is a gross injustice to not just Mike Lindell, but to all Americans when stuff like this happens. We'll be right back with your calls, 844-500-4242, taking calls for the rest of the show, so feel free to weigh in. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's a master thespian, trained in the art of performance.
These pretzels are making me thirsty!
This is The Grace Curley Show.
This is an extraordinary story being written today in America by this administration as I step all over my coat. Good thing my mom's not around.
Oh, boy. I don't know. I told Jared that was my fault. I said to Jared, play any cut you want. And now I'm speechless because these are the kind of cuts we have from Joe Biden. Can you blame him, though? He's in the partying spirit. He's a party animal. That was from yesterday. Joe Biden was celebrating the...
And not having the money to pay for it. Not a joke. Think about it. Think about what you'd think about at the time.
Think about what you'd think about. That sounds like an old country song. Think about what you'd think about.
Think about what you'd think about.
Stop yelling at me. That's what I'm thinking about. Stop yelling at everyone.
Why are you yelling at me?
Look in the mirror and yell at yourself, you crazy old man. Harry, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Harry.
Yes, ma'am. I just want to discuss the legal action of Mar-a-Lago, because my own feeling is I'm not a lawyer. I don't claim to be, but my gist of what I'm hearing of a search warrant has to be issued for a specific area of the establishment and what they're looking for. What they've issued is a generalized search warrant, which that to me makes that search warrant illegal. And what they've done to the affidavit, they blacked out just about 90% of the affidavit, which basically it says that somebody's hiding something. And my own feeling is that former President Trump has a good chance of using illegal search and seizure, because to me there's no document that they had was specific what they're looking for.
Well, yeah, so, and yeah, Harry, a lot of people were saying that the scope of the search warrant was too broad, because you know they claim to know exactly what kind of documents they wanted to get, and yet they're going through Melania's sock drawer. So that doesn't really add up. You know, if you know exactly what you're looking for, it's strange that you'd have to go through the entire house and kind of turn it all upside down, crack open the safe, accidentally take the passports. It has a lot of the earmarks, as the FBI might say, of a sloppy, sloppy search warrant. And I think you're right about that. But what it sounds to me, Harry, is that you're questioning the integrity of the DOJ. And I've been told by Merrick Garland 30 seconds before he leaked things to the Washington Post and the New York Times that I'm not allowed to do that. And if I'm on this show questioning the skill set and the intelligence and the honesty of the Department of Justice, I could become the next person who is dealing with a knock at the door. And I don't want to do that, because the FBI, the DOJ, they don't do anything unless they have probable cause. You know who told me that, Harry? I'm going to tell you who told me that. Okay, I'm not going to yell it at you because I'm not Joe Biden. Voice modulation is key. I'm going to bring down the level of my voice, and I'm going to tell you that Peter Strzok, one half of the Lovebird duo, tweeted out, ready for this? At this point, the FBI may have more cell phones than a Verizon store. He listed off names like Mike Lindell, Rudy Giuliani, Scott Perry, Jeff Clark. And then he wrote, the FBI can't seize any of them without probable cause. They contain evidence of a crime. Sure, Jan. Yeah, that would be beyond my imagination that the FBI would seize things without probable cause, that they would break the rules in order to get their mission accomplished. That doesn't sound like my FBI.
Not men of impeccable integrity like Republican Robert Mueller.
And not men of impeccable integrity like Peter Strzok, who can smell Trump support in a Walmart. Anything else, Peter, you want to tell us about how the FBI, what the FBI can and cannot do? You would know. You did a lot of things that they're not supposed to do, and you didn't get in trouble for it. We'll be right back with more. Stay on the lines. I'm going to take your calls. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
And how about James Taylor, a voice that heals our soul and unites a nation, and a good friend? I don't know where James is, probably smart enough to be under the shade of the tree over there, or I've taken off. But James, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Oh, James is probably smart enough to hang out in the shade. That's how with it he is. He's not going to sit out in the sun and get roasted, that whippersnapper. Yeah, so Joe Biden had James Taylor at the White House yesterday. And now we're being told that James Taylor is going to be healing the soul of the nation. I thought that was you, Joe. I thought that was your job. I thought you were unifying. Were you unifying the nation or uniting the nation until you decided to do that red sauna light speech? Is that when you gave up on that? Or did you pass it off? Did you pass the torch to James Taylor? I like James Taylor's music okay. I'm not a huge fan. But I don't think turning on a little bit of James Taylor is going to be the thing that fixes the mess we're in. A nice little dose of James Taylor and a sprinkle of raiding Mike Lindell's or seizing Mike Lindell's phone with a splash of raiding Mar-a-Lago. And what do you get when you put it all together? Unity. You get a nice slice of unity cake. Tom, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. You know, Mike Lindell ran some specials about that he paid for about irregularities in the 2020 election. There were also well over 200 poll workers that wrote sworn affidavits under the penalty of perjury during the 2020 election of irregularities. So is the FBI going to go after those people as well? This is very, very dangerous what they're doing in this country right now. And as someone stated earlier, this is what they do in a country like Nicaragua. When someone runs against Daniel Ortega, a communist, he has the opposition arrested, all right? And I would not put it past Joe Biden and the people in power in his administration to do things like that against common people. Last night there was a woman on Tucker Carlson who was from New Jersey that has a Trump flag in her lawn. Somebody dropped a dime on her to the FBI that she was there at the insurrection on January 6th. She was not. The other point being is that how many people at the insurrection have actually been charged with either treason or insurrection. Both of those are legal terms under federal law. And I don't know. I pray to God people wake up this November.
Yeah, and Tom, you're
the majority Republican.
You're referring to Lisa Gallagher. She was on with Tucker Carlson, and you're right. Someone did drop a dime on her and said that they thought she was at the January 6th insurrection, and she was not. And I want to read you just a little bit, Tom, because you're referring about the Nicaragua element of this. You're referring to John Daniel Davidson's piece, and I'm glad you are, because I want to read you something. He said, just to be clear, Democrats are proposing that anyone who thinks there was fraud in the 2020 election, anyone who thinks the election was something less than perfect, is fair game for hauling before the committee, being harassed by the FBI, having his property confiscated, maybe even indicted. In their world, having the wrong opinion about the election is tantamount to a crime. You might even get a visit from the FBI. You better not delete your emails or destroy your devices. That only works if your last name rhymes with Flinton. Whatever the Democrats end up doing, he says the committee, but he's talking about Democrats in general, I think, rest assured it is part of a larger effort to go beyond mere political theater and use the levers of government power to ensure that Trump cannot run again, that his supporters are under investigation, and that anyone who disagrees with the regime about the last election has a target on their back. That's what this is about. And the only part of it I haven't figured out yet, the only part of this that I have not figured out, and if you know the answer, the lines are open for you. If you have this missing piece of the puzzle, because I think I'm pretty good. Some people have a real gift for this. Let's go back to the late Rush Limbaugh. He had a gift for really figuring out the logic of the Democrats and how things might play out. And oftentimes he was right. I don't have that gift. But I do think there are certain steps that we can all see happening. We can understand their motives for a lot of things. I cannot understand what happens in this plan if they make it so that Trump cannot run. Because at least as far as I'm concerned, I thought Trump running was their best bet at winning. I did, because I'm using air quotes here, they've beaten Trump once with Joe Biden. Trump is a lightning rod. Say what you want about him. You can love him, you can hate him, but he definitely motivates people on both sides, which can be not good for his own party if Democrats are suddenly energized by the thought of Trump running. So where I get confused is if all of this works out for them, if the pillow guy gets his phone taken away and Trump's and Melania's wardrobe gets picked through by the FBI and they finally find the big, big smoking gun that they've been looking for 6 years now, and they got Trump, you know, hashtag get Trump. They got him. They got him. He's going to jail. He's going to be in Hinckley's jail cell, and all of this works out for them. Then DeSantis will run. And DeSantis, I think, has a lot less baggage than Trump and has even a better chance at winning. And I'd support either of them, so don't make any mistake about that. I know I got a couple people who are going to email me now and be mad, but that's just how I see it. I always tell you guys what I actually think. I think DeSantis would have a better shot. I think he would have a lot less baggage. So my question is, what do they do then? Like, have they not thought that far through? You might be saying to yourself, well, Grace, look at them. They're morons. They've got Joe Biden out there throwing a party the day that the Dow is down like 900 points. And there is something to be said for that. But typically, they're diabolical in the sense that they have a plan. Like, everything's planned out. Nothing's by accident. I just don't know what that plan is next. Like, maybe they feel like, oh, well, once Ron DeSantis is the guy, we'll be able to do this all again and we'll be able to garner up the same amount of hate for Ron DeSantis. I don't think that's true. I don't think you can get it back. I think people have exerted so much of their derangement and their hatred toward Trump. I don't know if they can whip that up again for Ron DeSantis, especially in a short amount of time, which it will be. If they decide to do this, it will be. But there's one other point here, Jared. There's one other point I want to get to, and I don't want to forget this, is that another part of this piece, and I'm really glad we had him on the show today, that John talks about, is the fact that the special master has been appointed. And I was along the same lines of a lot of people who thought, well, it's kind of ridiculous. Howie and I talked about this. Like, it's too late, you know, unless you have one in the beginning, who really cares? But I didn't think about this part of it. Because of the special master, the appointment of a special master, and I'm reading here from John Daniel Davidson, to review the material seized by the FBI from Trump's residence, a shocking 11,000 documents and 1,800 other items, including what the judge called personal effects without evidentiary value, means that Garland might not be able to indict Trump before the November midterms, given the time it will take to go through all this material. But that is a risk Garland ran when he sent the FBI on what was clearly a fishing expedition. The appointment of the special master in this case has already exposed the political nature of the raid. Without an indictment ahead of the midterms, it seems Democrats might have to settle for airing the next installment of their Soviet-style January 6 hearings. But those aren't going to do anything. If anything, those original season one of the January 6 hearings actually made people less inclined to think Trump had anything to do with the insurrection. So I think the special master could very much help Trump because it puts Garland in a bind. I don't know what their plan is. I can't figure this out.
Well, the big weapon they had, if you want to call it that, was after 4 years of Donald Trump, people were tired of crazy. They were tired of chaos. They were tired of this constant news cycle about this man's destroying everything. Everybody wanted to get back to what they called normal. And Joe Biden was going to restore normalcy, and the Democrats were going to restore normalcy to government, people who knew how government worked, blah, blah, blah. Well, they have 2 years of absolute insane chaos that followed that. So they don't even have that. They can't say anymore, hey, look, once the adults and the Avengers are back in the room, you know, hey, life's going to go back to normal. You're going to be able to do stuff. No, it's just gotten worse. So there's those people that were like, look, I cannot take another 4 years of this Donald Trump thing. I just can't do it. Well, now they've gotten even more, more incensed by all this. So they're like, no, this was supposed to be better, but it's not. So at least with the other stuff that I hated, I had money in my pocket and I could afford gas.
Yeah, and another part of that I don't understand is if they decide not to run Joe Biden, but they run Kamala Harris or Pete Buttigieg or Elizabeth Warren or anyone who's been, you know, very supportive of Joe Biden thus far, what's their angle going to be? Oh, well, let's say Joe Biden runs and he has other people running against him in the primaries. Is their angle going to be, oh, well, yeah, Joe Biden really sucked, but I'm going to do all the same things Joe Biden said he was going to do, but I'm just going to really do them, and I'm going to do them better. Like, is there an appetite for that? For people to say, I know you voted for Joe Biden and he's a complete failure, and I said that you should vote for him, and I actually worked in his White House and I'm a complete failure, but if you let me be in charge, I'm going to fail even harder than Joe Biden. So you need to let me in there, because it's going to be what we have now times five. I don't think people are going to go for that. Wayne, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Wayne.
Hey, Grace. 20, 30 years ago when I was born again, instantly overnight, the next day, whenever my friends would hang around me and they would swear, it'd be like, like a dagger, like, oh, no. Every time you just said master while I was on hold, it just kind of does the same thing. Like, why haven't they, like, liberals or liberalism or wokeism, why haven't they gotten rid of that term from general political discourse? But that wasn't my point. My point is, this isn't about, it is about, I mean, Trump is the big fish they're looking to catch, but it's all about every other fish in the ocean right now. They want to scare, I mean, look at this, the pillow guy, come on. They want to scare any and every Republican. I mean, just instill the fear to maybe there's a 20-year-old in college right now thinking, I'd like to get into public service, but look at this hell that they're witnessing, all orchestrated by the Democrats. Who's going to want to serve the country now?
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's a really good point, Wayne, because I was thinking of that too. Who'd want to get into politics when it's this dirty? I mean, politics has always been dirty, but if you think the FBI is going to show up at your house and take everything that you own, that does add a chilling effect to people getting involved. And I saw a headline the other day from the Babylon Bee that every day that goes by, it seems like it could be a real headline. It said people putting out Joe Biden signs on their front lawn so the FBI skips over their houses. It is true. It is absolutely true. Ethan, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Ethan.
Hi, Grace. Thanks for taking my call. I don't know what I heard the challenge that you threw out there for Democrats or whoever to figure. I don't know exactly what it was. I just wanted to put in my 2 cents on what I think is happening in this country. And that is, I think that no matter which party is in power, even though it was better under Trump, I think that it's against the people no matter which party is in there. And, you know, remember, Trump did declare the national emergency and he was behind the vaccines. And that was like, in my mind, some of the darkest periods of my life in government and in this country. So it's really like, you know, the Bill of Rights says, the Declaration of Independence says at the beginning, we can, and forget the insurrection thing. That was not an insurrection. That was like a toga party gone wrong or something. And no, that caller was right. There was nobody charged with insurrection. But we have the right as the people to do away with the government whenever it is in this state, which is total chaos. No truth. There's the media is lying. The government's lying. And if we don't wake up, they're going to march us right into this biosecurity state where it's going to be social credit scores, just like China. And, you know, when's the next pandemic, quote, pandemic coming that they're going to lock us down? We have to put our feet down. And, you know, I just think that the two-party system is done with.
Ethan, I think that, and we are running out of time here, I think you said a lot of good points. I don't think we need to overthrow, you know, I don't want to get into, you know, abolishing the government or anything like that. I think people need to vote for Republicans. And the reason I say that is you say it's against the people who's ever in power. You mentioned Donald Trump doing the 15 days to slow the spread, doing the lockdown. Don't let perfect be the enemy of good. And did Trump make mistakes? Yes. Have Republicans been weak on a lot of things? Yes. But are they way better than what we're seeing now? Absolutely. I don't even think there's a comparison. And I don't take away anything you said about Trump in that time and those mistakes that he made. But when you compare the pros and the cons of these administrations and of these parties, I don't think it's even close. That's my take on it. Thank you for the call, though. The Democrat surveillance state is here. 87,000 new armed non-law enforcement IRS agents. So why does America need that? The liar said no new taxes on individuals making under $400,000. We paid attention to the 400K and they slipped this in under our noses. They'll soon control all aspects of your life with armed agents rummaging through every dime you spent. Friends, this is no joke. This is for real. You traded thousands of hours of time building your nest egg, but now you have to protect it. You need this now. It's Monetary Gold's new guide. It's called 5 Money Mistakes That Could Crush Your Retirement in the Next 6 Months. So call Monetary Gold now. There's no time to delay. It's 888-617-7994. Get 5 Money Mistakes That Could Crush Your Retirement in the Next 6 Months, 888-617-7994. We'll be right back with the rest of your calls. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Today's poll question is brought to you by the Nauset Beach Inn. Plan your winter getaway now at the Nauset Beach Inn. Ocean view rooms are priced from just $119.99 during the week and $149 a night. $149.99 a night on weekends, November through March. So book online at NausetBeachInn.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do you think the GOP is doing enough for 2022?
No, I do not.
97% of the audience now believes no.
Nancy, you are up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hi, Grace. I just wanted to give my sort of impressions of that party that Biden has. I mean, these people are supposed to be politically astute, and I think you could pick a random person off the street to have told them this isn't a good idea. And my other thought was, it looked like, I mean, I've recently read a book about North Korea. And not that we're anywhere near that bad, but the point is the government would tell everybody, oh, everything's wonderful, everything's great. And meanwhile, the people barely had enough to eat. And that's kind of how it felt like. They just are telling us Biden wants to be, he needed to be shored up and told that he was wonderful. And that's why they had this.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with reality.
And, you know, along that line of propaganda in North Korea, they should have sent Lester Holt to cover the inflation party yesterday because he would have been able to go along with it. He would have been fooled and said, hey, you know, I've been hearing some stuff from people back at the newsroom about the inflation numbers. But based off what I'm seeing here, everything looks great. Everyone's really happy. And I love that Nancy pointed that out because that was a part of this that really drove me nuts is like, how did no one say this is a bad idea? But then you go back and you say, okay, when they were shining, when they were drenching Biden in red light and having him go on stage and vilify half the country, nobody stopped that. You know, there's been so many, if I were a list of all the terrible optics from this administration that they don't ever, you know, have a eureka moment and say, guys, this is a bad idea. Let's put it off for a week. Let's wait till next month to do this inflation reduction party. But I will say this, there are a bunch of morons. And they don't have a lot on their schedules. Their calendars are not full. But whatever's on the calendar, they stick to it no matter what. If it's vacation, if it's a party, if it's a birthday cake, if it's a bridal sash presentation, they do not veer from the calendar. And you got to respect that. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about inflation, a little bit about the railroad, the Amtrak strikes, and Caroline Leavitt won last night, and we're going to play a little bit of her victory speech. Don't go anywhere.